good afternoon, everyone. Merry Christmas to all of you. It's so good to be with you. Tradition tells us that there was a tower known as Migdal Adar, the Tower of the Flock. And it stood about 2,000 paces straight north of the center of Bethlehem, in a district of Bethlehem called Ephrathah. It has a history that stretches backward in time to the most ancient days, to the patriarchs, particularly the patriarch Jacob and his wife Rachel. And this history includes the likes of Boaz, Ruth, and even the famous King David. In this area, the lambs for sacrifice upon the altar in the great temple of Jerusalem, which sat just 5 miles to the north, these lambs were scrutinized and set apart. In the bowels of this tower was a stone room, a large stall, where specially trained shepherds would take the newborn lambs and inspect them to see if they had any defects, any blemishes, any scarring, any wounds. And if these lambs passed the inspection so as to go on to be sacrificed for the variety of offerings there at the great temple, including and most importantly, the Passover sacrifice, the Passover offering, then those shepherds would take these special cloths, swaddling cloths, and would wrap those lambs tightly with those swaddling cloths. And they would place them in a large stone feeding trough, otherwise known as a manger. And there upon that stone manger, those lambs would be nourished, and there they would be kept warm, they would be safe, they would be secure, they would be prepared to go off to the temple for sacrifice. This was the rhythm of life for these shepherds and these lambs from generation to generation to generation. And then we come to a most extraordinary and world-changing night. My friend Glenda read just a few moments ago the setup from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and following. But listen to the rest of the story. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and following. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. Let me ask you a question. How did the shepherds know exactly where to go to see this little baby? Did they make their way in the middle of the night into the middle of Bethlehem and start pounding on doors, going from house to house, inquiring of sleepy and shocked residents, where is the newborn? No, they did not need to, because of three words vocalized by that angel: swaddling cloths, manger. And what those three words did for those shepherds, what those three words did for those shepherds was tell them exactly where they needed to go. Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock, because that's where, for generations, the shepherds have been taking the lambs of sacrifice and wrapping them in swaddling cloths and laying them in a manger. You can imagine with me, Joseph and pregnant Mary, desperate because the delivery was upon them, going from place to place to find a quiet spot in order to give birth, to discover every place was full. And so, just some paces out of the downtown area, there in the bowels of the Tower of the Flock, a door was opened and there was a room of stone. And in that quiet place, the baby was born. And there, as soon as the baby was delivered, a weary but excited hand reaches up to a hook and pulls off a swaddling cloth and wraps the baby tightly and sets the baby down right there onto that stone trough, the manger, the baby, Jesus. 30 years would pass. 30 years would pass. And an itinerant preacher named John the Baptist would make a most public proclamation about this Jesus. It was a proclamation rooted in an ancient prophecy, a prophecy found in the book of Micah in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 4 says something about that tower. Verse 8, the prophet Micah says, "And you, Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, the former dominion shall arrive, kingship shall come." And a few verses later, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." Oh, the tower of the flock, Migdal Eder, literally in the Hebrew, the place where the king would arrive. That's the prophecy. And the proclamation itself by John the Baptist, oh, in front of the crowds, when he would see Jesus, of that Jesus, now a grown man, of that Jesus, John the Baptist would say what? According to John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The Lamb who would become slain. at Passover, the lamb who would shed his blood so we all could be free. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 9, tells us about this lamb Jesus. In this scene in the great heavenly courtroom, there is Jesus, the lamb who was slain and by whose blood people were purchased for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, gathered around the Lamb of God, Jesus, worshiping him, the Lamb who was slain. Oh, friend, he was slain for the world, and he was slain for you. This Jesus, born of a virgin at the base of a tower called the Tower of the Flocks, where the lambs were scrutinized for sacrifice, wrapped in swaddling cloths for the Passover lambs, placed on what amounts to a warming bed. And he grew to be a man, lived a sinless life, and at a certain point in time was betrayed by a friend, arrested by the authorities, tried by the religious prudes of the land, crucified by the Romans, slain on a cross. His blood was there poured out, and he died to pay the price for you and me to have life eternal and the forgiveness of sins. And 3 days later, death couldn't hold him back. He rose from the dead so that we could live forever. And he ascended some days later into the heavenly places, and right now is in session at the right hand of his Father, advocating for those who would trust in him. And all of this is so that sin and death and the devil and filth and shame and fear and condemnation no longer have the final word. Praise God. Praise God. And so it is, the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 10, the 13th verse says, everyone who calls on the name of this Lord shall be saved. And on this Christmas Eve, those of you right here on our campus, those of you online, on this Christmas Eve, I adjure you, if you have not yet, call on this Jesus. Call on this Jesus. Confess your sin. Tell him you need a Savior. Tell him you understand he is God's provision for your salvation. The Lamb of God slain that all things would be made new. You call on this Jesus and you declare him. You declare by faith that you want him to take your life and to lead you forward. For he alone has the power and the authority as King, slain for you, to make all things new, including you. Now I want you to imagine with me. I want you to imagine with me that you're like those shepherds and you enter into the bowels of that tower of the flocks. And you've gone there to inspect the newborn Lamb of God. Oh. And there you bow down and look in that stone trough and you see that little baby. And the low lantern light on that precious night. And you see the face of Mary and of Joseph gazing back at you. And you just adore him. you adore him, the Lamb of God, slain to take away the sins of the world. Let us adore him together right now. I invite you to stand as we adore this one who makes all things new.